time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome to the round table for this Monday, the 11th of May. Joining us, he is the host of The Pole Position, right here on News Talk 1010.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, John Pole.
G'day, sir. How are you?
I am well. News Talk 1010, political analyst, solutions program, brand security, research, marketing, directives, and implementation manager. Trevor Mayo joins us as well.
How's it going?
Good, buddy.
You just got thrown a word salad on your table.
You know what? I think my resume is getting longer and longer, according to Jay in lockdown. This is great.
Yeah. I don't know why you gave him keys to your LinkedIn profile, but whatever. That's your. It's up to you, man. All right. Let's talk a little bit about baseball to start off. I think this is more indicative of where the sports leagues are headed. Baseball just happens to be the first one out of the chute to be talking quite seriously. The owners today voting on the idea of a July 4th start date. You'd have a shortened, abbreviated season. You would have a shortened spring training session where the players could kind of get in shape and get themselves baseball ready. And then you'd have an expanded playoff system with more teams, 14 teams, which is more than they currently have in their playoff system. You'd also have a situation where the Toronto Blue Jays may have to play home games in Dunedin, Florida, but not all of it's been worked out, John. And a lot of it has to do with whether the players say, okay, we're cool with taking a pay cut for the good of the game. We'll get back out there in July and start hitting dingers.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, baseball has an interesting opportunity here. It's the one sport that I think maybe baseball and golf have the exact same problem, which is it's unfortunately got to a point where our attention spans have a hard time staying with long games. And I think baseball has an interesting opportunity here to change things up a little bit and maybe entice some people back to the sport. Obviously, there's going to be some people that maybe are still self-isolating that will even also have time to catch an entire game. So I applaud them for trying to get it going. I don't know that you'll ever get baseball players to all collectively agree they're worth less because their egos and paychecks are about as big as you can get. But some sport has to go first. So good for baseball for at least moving the ball down the field a little bit. They're still a long way off, but it's a good start.
Trevor, not that I want to be the guy who throws cold water on something as we go throughout this conversation, but I've just been handed the story that the Major League Baseball Players Association has some issues with this proposal. Yeah. The union's officials are just saying now they will not sign off on the league's proposal if salaries in 2020 come from 50% of the revenues during the abbreviated season. Now, of course, baseball makes a lot of their money from people being in the stadiums, which they're not going to make this time around. And the union is arguing, well, that's a salary cap, and we're not good with the salary cap, so stuff your idea for now.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated. So we'll see what happens with the players' union tomorrow because, you mean, the revenue share in MLB is dramatically different from any other pro league in terms of what the players, how they actually make their money. I mean, they're talking about prorating it down for half the season. So, I mean, that obviously cuts players' salary for the season significantly. In terms of, I mean, we'll see what actually shakes out tomorrow. Listen, they're going to come to a deal. Like, if no money or some money, they're going to come to a deal. I think it's actually, as John said, it's a good thing for MLB if you're getting back on TV when there's no other sport. And we've been sort of dry on that front for so long. I think they're going to get a lot of new eyeballs. And so I think everyone recognized that. And frankly, 80 games instead of 162, like that to me, each game counts a little bit more, which makes a little bit more interesting baseball than when I go to the Sky Dome or whatever at the beginning of the year and sit down and be like, well, we still have 160 games to go. So if we lose, it doesn't matter as much. So I think it'll be super interesting. I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah, I would prefer 86 games in a five-inning baseball game. That would be perfect for me, but mm-hmm. I'll probably be dead before any of that happens. Jay, you look at it, though, and you know, I would make the prediction that in 2 weeks' time, and you can hold me to this, we will be having a conversation about the NBA and NHL looking to resume their seasons likely in July as well. That seems like what the timeline dictates here.
Yeah, also you've got Major League Baseball sort of first out of the chute, although technically you could say UFC was first out of the gate. They managed to put up a pretty successful broadcast. They're going to mm-hmm. follow it up with, you know, considerable larger amount of more events. And you got to look at which sport's going to be the first to sort of get back and going, right? So if Major League Baseball is first out of the gate to at least have this discussion, they're going to be the model moving forward for just about everybody else, right? And you called it here on the show earlier this afternoon. You said, you know, I'm pretty sure the players are going to have significant issues with everything that's being laid out today. And sure enough, they have. But, I mean, that's only normal, right? I mean, you're not going with your first offer on anything. There's going to be a little bit of back and forth. But I honestly think that I think players want to play. I don't think that they want to sit home and collect whatever it is they're collecting. I think they'd rather play baseball as long as they feel safe wherever they're playing it.
Yeah, in the words of Taylor Swift, a player's going to play, 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 play. All right, let's talk a little bit about...
What?
What? That's not
what just happened there? Did we just quote Taylor Swift?
Why not?
Hey, haters going to hate, 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 hate.
This is free form. This is what this is all about. Come on.
Get, Ryan needs to get out of the house more.
Listen, if you want to hear a 12-minute free, you know, anyway. Let's talk a little bit about getting out of the house. This might be in the wrong way. The premier today, addressing the media, talked a little bit about Mother's Day in his house.
We had the girls, and the girls came over. There was six of us, a direct family. None of the husband, boyfriends, no one came, just themselves. And I think if we can keep it to as small as possible gatherings, that would be very helpful.
Now, John, I don't have all the specifics of what that visit looked like, whether there was social distancing going on, maybe they came to the outside of the house. I don't know the narrative there. I don't know how that broke down. I've reached out. I've tried to get more information, more detail, but it doesn't seem to be forthcoming. Now, that said, a lot of people are saying, well, wait a minute. If that happened, then why did I not bother visiting any of my family that I know have been in isolation for the last 6-7 weeks?
I was on the air filling in for Evan when this happened, and you guys know what it's like when someone says something, a caller, a guest, or even yourself on the text board. When something happens, it immediately blows up. So when the premier said that, I was looking at the text board, and there was nothing. And I was thinking to myself, did he just say his family came over this weekend? I think he just said that. And it was like there was a pause across Ontario, because after about 30, 40 seconds, then the text board exploded. And it was really split. There were a lot of people that were like, yeah, I've done that. My sister came over. My daughter came home for dinner. And the other half was, wait a minute. I've been stuck in my house following all these rules. What does he mean his daughter came over? I didn't think that was allowed. So I think, in my opinion, we have a communication problem here. We've got to get some clear direction from the premier as to what is right and what is wrong. I don't disagree with his point of view that you should use your best judgment. I don't know that some Ontarians have best judgment in some of the things that they do. However, if that's where we're at, that's fine. Let's just open the door for everyone and make it clear that that's okay for everyone, or let's shut the door so that it's not okay, because I can tell from the reaction I got during the show, half of the province is like, wait a minute, that's a violation, and the other half is like, no, that sounds cool. He's being responsible.
Trevor?
Yeah, I don't feel he was being responsible. The challenge that we have with this is a communication problem, and people at home right now have been losing their jobs. They've been losing their businesses. They are having serious challenges on their mental health because they've been withdrawing from human interaction for so long. But they've been doing their jobs as Ontarians, and they've been doing what's been asked of them by the government and our chief medical health officer, and staying home and isolating. And so I find it incredibly frustrating and angering when the premier stands on a podium and says, don't go up to cottage country, please stay home, and then does that. Stands up on the podium and says, you mean it's not responsible to go and see your mother this weekend, go on Zoom, blah, 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 and then has people over at his house and breaks the rule. It is incredibly frustrating, irresponsible, because one of the main roles of the premier, again, this isn't if it actually was. I actually think the chance of risk and COVID spreading and contact spread with that gathering is probably like minimal, if anything. So I'm not worried about that. But one of the most important roles of a premier, specifically during a crisis, is role modeling and communication. And if people start to hear from the premier, start to be able to rationalize their own independent thing. Well, like, yeah, it wasn't that bad when I went over and visited my friend last weekend, or, oh, it was just a barbecue with two of us in the backyard. That rationalization, because you hear about it from role modeling, from the people who are telling us what is and isn't safe, it starts to slip. And we're getting close to a point where we're actually going to be able to start to relieve some of these social conditions. And that's very exciting and it's helpful, but we're not going to be able to do that if we take our foot off the gas too soon. And this frustrates me because that is one of his main responsibilities in the premier, and he continuously just goes against what he's telling everyone else to do.
All right, Trevor, I want to take the frustration. I can hear it in your voice. You're probably really tense in the shoulders right now. Maybe you need just a lighthearted moment like this one.
By the way, before I jump, I make the best cherry cheesecake ever. Mm-hmm. I do it from scratch. No recipe. I got it down pat. And again, you can tell I've eaten one too many cheesecakes. That's my problem.
There you go. We're going to get him to send one of those over to you. Okay. Jay, did you want to finish on that one?
What was great about that was that he had left the podium and realized, oh, I forgot to tell everybody about my cherry cheesecake. And then he came back to the podium. I personally love that. You know what? A lot of people are saying this at 7:10:10. So, you know, if it's the premier getting up in the morning and exercising poor judgment by going to the cottage, despite the fact that he left and he went on his own and he came back really quickly, and then a few days later he stands up and says, you know, I had my daughters over for dinner. You know, that's kind of two strikes for me. And I'm losing my faith in this guy a little bit. So obviously, you know, not all of the information is in. I know we reached out to the premier's office to try and get a statement. There isn't one, but Trevor nailed it. This is exactly what we look to our leaders for in a time like this: consistency, role modeling, and leading by example. And if those are the two examples that we're leading by, we got to step it up a little bit.
Well, listen, there is one. It just doesn't address any of the concerns that we have about the particular statement, and there needs to be further clarification to be sure. But let's move on, talk a little bit about transit. When it comes to other countries that have got back up and running, it seems like public transit isn't the way people are going. Instead, they're opting, John Pohl, for taking the car to work or wherever it is they're going. In fact, yeah, you know, gas sales are spiking. You've got used car sales spiking. People don't want to chance it on public transit. Will you?
You know what? That's a great question. I'm not a big public transit guy generally, just because of the way my life works. However, whenever I'm downtown in the city, I do always hop on the subway. So it's because it's not a routine for me. I haven't thought about it much, but I did actually consider those folks that are carpooling to work and whether or not they will continue to do that. Like if you were carpooling in from Barrie or Milton or wherever, and you had two or three folks in the car, does that now mean that instead of one car there might be four or five cars on the road? And that's certainly going to lead to a lot more congestion on the DVP and the Gardner. I think for myself right now, because it's not part of my routine, I would probably avoid it.
Trevor, you know, I understand the sentiment. You take public transit quite a bit. Where will you find yourself when the dust settles? Will you be on a streetcar? Will you be on a subway?
Yeah, the transit doesn't scare me that much, because I think people, specifically with this work from home stuff, they'll be able to change some of their timelines. So maybe you travel at off peak, you're able to find different times when there's a little bit more room and people wear PPE. What I'm more concerned about is, in terms of returning to work, is the elevator. Like, fine, you can distance yourself on a GO train or maybe on a subway if you travel in off peak times. But if you're lining up for the elevator at stadium place, you're not able to socially distance in those elevators. Lines can go around the block three times. And that's more what I'm concerned about, is because that's going to be packed in a tighter space. So I would be more worried about elevators and tight confined space at the workplace than the mode of transportation to actually get to the spot.
Trevor, John, great conversation. We appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Try the cheesecake on the way out.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.